This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, BT and Sal back on the field. We'll get back to your calls here. Really, anything up for grabs this final hour? We will do our weekly power rankings coming up in about 15 minutes or so. 888-808-1019. So off of what we were just talking about, BT, with Bogus, the Yankees obviously loaning their stadium, George Steinbrenner Field, to the Rays for the entire 2025 season. Rays obviously with their, what do you call it, the Trop being dismantled there by the storm, so they have to repair it, not going to be able to do it in time. But the Yanks are also getting $15 million, well, roughly, right?
So between 15 and 20.
Okay, there you go, in revenue for the upcoming season.
You reinvest it right back in the product, baby.
It can't hurt.
It can't hurt.
Extra $15 million potentially to tack on for Juan Soto. Maybe not have to defer as much money to bring him back.
I'm thinking more than Soto. Like, you know, Soto, that's far from
But they
given.
Have the budget for that.
I mean, come on. I mean, they need, and I said this to Sal before, they got to get a first baseman. You look at any Yankees team that wins a championship. Now, ironically, the first one we're going to reference is really the last time that this truly happened. Like, you go back to the 76 team that got there and the 77 and 78 team that won. Like, first base play was okay. Like, Chris Chambliss was fine. You know, Bob Watson was a platoon guy in 81 when they lost that World Series. But all these Yankee teams that win, they've had a great first, or at least a really good first baseman. You know, Teixeira in 09, certainly in 09, switch hitter, elite right-handed fielding first baseman, yeah. Power average, first couple of years, if not great, very close to it. You know, Tino was terrific. Cecil Fielder had a big presence in 96 when he played down in Atlanta and Tino sat. I mean, they just, you can't piece, there's certain positions to me that you can't piece together. And for whatever reason, the Yankees' first base is one of them. So take the extra money that you're getting from the Rays and tack on an extra year to Christian Walker before you even give the number for Soto, and deliver Christian Walker before anybody else even goes after
him. Yeah, the right-handed hitting.
He's a great fielder, Sal. He's a great fielder.
So you care about great fielding? You want some offense?
Dude, he hits 30-plus bombs.
I understand that, but wouldn't you rather have a lefty bat?
I would if you can find me who that guy is. Also, well, who is he? Also, Freddie Freeman going to come here?
I mean, Walker is a nice fit because...
It's a perfect fit.
Because you're not going to commit long-term to him.
Yep.
And you already have a first baseman in waiting in Aaron Judge, whether he likes it or not. I mean, that's just the reality. It's going to be a natural progression. Judge's not going to be playing the outfield. I mean, what would you put the expiration date on Judge being an outfielder at? 3 years?
That's a really good
question. 5 years?
I think it really depends when he gets out of center. I think the quicker he gets out of center, I think you tack on an extra year or two on the back end when he's got to lead the outfield.
He's not playing center this year, you think? If the Yankees go into next season with Judge at the center fielder, they're already doing it wrong. Like, I'm okay if you tell me Soto's back and Judge is in left.
Left.
Yeah, and then they need a center fielder. Now, you want that to be Dominguez?
It's got to be, because it's got to be from a money perspective. Yeah, I mean, they're not going to go out and get another center fielder.
That's not a good defensive outfield.
Well, you have to remember.
So that's already starting the year with a bad defense. Now, again, with Soto and Judge, offensively, you probably take it. But already what we've criticized the Yankees for, it's not getting better in the outfield.
No, although I do think there's, and I mean, he needs to disprove this, but I think there's a bit of an overreaction to the three pop-ups that Dominguez butchered.
Maybe, but
one of which he overran.
Maybe, but is he going to be a plus defensive center fielder?
He was. I was looking at some scouting reports when he was in the minors. Again, it's the minors. I get it. But, I mean,
plus Judge and left, like.
And it's spacious out there. I don't love Judge and left there. I don't. That's why I would, you know, I would talk about, and I have first base for Judge, but they're not doing that now. So, I think that Dominguez just really got rusty all around. He hasn't played baseball for basically 2 years, Sal.
Right, so then, okay, but either way.
Meaning that when he gets back in the flow, I think he's going to be not a plus, but slightly above average at the worst center fielder.
It's also relying heavily on him in this equation. Like, I agree they need Soto back, but it just, the way the team is structured, it's a rough fit with Soto in right field, moving Judge to left, not having a legitimate center fielder, having Stanton at DH still.
Yep.
Like, okay, great. Yeah, they got Christian Walker. Okay. Jazz is going to be the second baseman. Volpe at short. Who's going to be third baseman?
Don't know yet.
Okay,
it's not going to be Bregman. They're not going to get all those guys.
Right. Probably not going to be Adames. I'd rather have Adames and Ben Rice at first. Or some, if you don't want Rice, give me another cut. And maybe get LeMahieu, your boy DJ, back there.
Stop
it. Oh, you're bending, you're paying him.
I don't want to watch him do anything ever again.
No, he's the leadoff hitter going into last year.
He's the table setter.
I'm just saying, I think the better investment, if they're going to do it, I understand why people love Walker, and I understand the importance of that. I just think Adames is the better player. Now, again, you're going to be committing more money long term.
Oh, Adames is getting 7 years. Every projection has him at 7 years.
And he's just a gamer. I mean, I don't know. I love Adames for both the Mets and the Yankees. And the Yankees have a need. Like, the Mets actually don't need a third baseman, technically. And they could live with Vientos to third base, especially if they bring Pete back. I mean, you could make a case the Mets could get a first baseman as well. Maybe they get Christian Walker and go with Vientos. I wouldn't. I would go Adames at third, Vientos to first. I think you upgrade both those positions. But for the Yankees, why wouldn't they be looking at Adames?
Well, I don't know what they have in the minors like that. I mean, I know some like Spencer and a few others, but I don't know if they have a couple of kids low A that they think are going to play the positions that Adames will play. So that could be it.
But then again, how many young position players are the Yankees going to be relying on?
Center field, catcher, shortstop. I'll even throw Jazz in there because he's controllable, not making a lot of money. Could be first base if it's Ben Rice. I mean, it could be five.
Yeah, that's... Isn't that quite a bit?
It's too many.
Okay,
too many.
So, and it's also still not the puzzles fitting perfectly. Like, not only is it you're relying potentially on five young players, but the pieces don't all fit right. Because you have Stanton, because you want Soto back, and I do want Soto back if I'm the Yankees, but because you have, you're not going to move Judge to first base yet. Like, the pieces would actually fit better if you move Judge to first base now, or had some kind of hybrid with Judge and Soto in the outfield and right field and then DHing. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that because you got Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, and I think even further along, if Spencer Jones was, which he's definitely not, then maybe you justify a Dominguez-Jones-Soto outfield and Judge it first.
Yeah, what about this?
Spencer Jones didn't have a good year.
You know anything about this Caleb Durbin?
I've seen the name a lot. I'd be lying if I said I knew a ton about him. I'm really not
name.
Sure.
Cashman mentioned his name
he
as
did.
Well.
He did.
I mean, is he going to be a contributor here? Potentially
well, let me just give you that. I've seen
one.
That. I don't think so yet, but you never know. Okay, hold on. So let's say the Yankees get Walker, Soto's back. Dominguez, you can't get away with Cabrera and DJ, you know, combo with third base. Like, that's the only position that's really weak.
No, you probably could.
I think you probably can.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it's not the only one that's weak because then you have an outfield that is not a good...
Yeah, but you got two mashers at least. No, I'm not saying it's a good defensive configuration.
But aren't we then getting back to the same... You know, same issues. Okay, well, they need Wells to take another step. Need Volpe to take another step. Stop me if you've heard this before. Need Dominguez to be legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jazz at second base, full year. You would expect that he's going to be better than what Glaber gave you.
No question.
Okay, well, I mean, Jazz wasn't very good.
Okay, he came here every time.
But he came here and he played like Babe Ruth and everybody got called up. Look at his overall numbers. He sucked in the postseason.
I know.
Jazz Chisholm did. He was a zero in the postseason.
Matter of fact, he was more of a negative because he made some mistakes on the bases.
Yeah.
He didn't do much at all. I'm going to give you that.
And I'll give you that. Like, his athleticism is terrific. Yep. And you would project that he's going to be a better all-around ball player than Glaber, but... Let's not overhype what Jazz Chisholm is either.
Well, I'm also not putting him in the, you know, in the 1, 2, 3, or 4 hole. I think where he'll probably be slotted next year, I think he's going to be really good. Number one, he's cheaper than Torres. That matters for the Yankees at this point, unfortunately. But I'm going to give you round numbers for Grisham for him next year. Not Grisham, for Jazz.
Chisholm, yeah.
You ready?
Jeff Chisholm. Jeez, I got Jazz.
I know, I got you. All right, let's say 260 average. Do you get that from him, over under?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be around. What was his career, 250?
I think it's higher than that. Home runs, 25. Basically had that this year.
See, I think that in Yankee Stadium, it actually could be a detriment to his game because he's somebody, unlike Soto, remember we talked about Soto, he's not going to change his swing and be lured by the short porch. I think Jazz is going to be home run happy. So maybe those, he's career two, wait, I don't know, this year he's 256.
Yeah, yeah, as average higher than that,
249,
right?
So he's right there.
So on the button. So, well, either way, listen, maybe he's a little more adversely impacted with the average dips,
right,
the home
homers,
runs go up.
So career homers.
What do you have this year? 25? 20,
24.
24.
He had 18, 14, 19, and then 24 this year.
All right, so let's say he hits 255 with, I'll even be 22 home runs, and let's say 38 to 45 steals.
You
doable?
Love that. See, it's a
doable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now just think at the right side of the Yankee infield with Christian, if it's Walker as well,
right.
Just to finish my thought.
Right.
Walker to me is, aside from Soto, target number one. A righty masher, elite fielder. And now you contrast that to last year's version. Rizzo couldn't move. Rizzo couldn't hit. Torres was intermittently locked in and very back-heavy in terms of stats, meaning he wasn't consistent the first few months of the season. I think a Walker-Jazz first and second combination is twice as good as Rizzo and Torres.
Agreed. Soto back, Walker in at first. Jazz second, Volpe short, really not going to go nuts at third base
Cabrera,
either way.
Cabrera, DJ,
yeah, whatever,
Durbin, whatever it might be.
Figure that out, fine.
They're not getting break, but I'm not.
Wells, you hope he takes the next step.
I love Austin Wells.
The concern would be the outfield defense.
But you know what it's going to be to start?
Well,
it's going to be Dominguez and Judge, left to right, Judge, Dominguez, Soto. And you got to live with it for
be
now.
Dominguez?
Yeah, it's got to be. Just to justify the money.
Yeah, I mean,
What else are they going to do?
No, I'm saying, like, on paper, yeah, I think that they've upgraded on paper. I still don't know if it's, to me, the team
World
that I want.
World Series worthy?
Well, I mean, they got to the World Series with a lesser team this
year. Why did they lose? Because they kick it all around the yard.
And they were fortunate to get there. Right. So the defense would worry me.
Okay.
The reliance, again, on Judge. Remember, Judge Soto, I would be willing to bet that they never produced to the level that they did this year. Meaning that even, I'm not doubting those two as performers, but they both stayed healthy all year long. They both played at the highest of, like, this was max. They're not going to get any better than that.
But Judge's season 2 years ago, I mean, he almost won the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
so it was basically a replication.
He was better this year.
It's close.
But my point is, I don't think you could get better.
I probably agree.
Now,
I think Soto could get a little bit better.
Could they stay the same?
I think Soto could hit for a higher average,
but
slightly.
As each gets on, Soto I'm not worried about. More Judge staying healthy, and also like just the you know defense being moved to a corner. Judge staying healthy and the production that both those two had, that's a lot. Now, maybe even if they do come down a little bit, well, you got Walker in the lineup.
And Wells pops 7 or 8 more home
runs.
Maybe
Volpe
I think so.
Sure, so there's a path there. So I guess my concerns would be I still don't love Stanton at DH. I think it's just a waste of having him on the roster. You're not able to build the team or use that as a spot to give one of those guys rest, whether it's Soto or Judge, but whatever. Center field would be a big issue for me. I don't know what Dominguez is at all, and then I worry about the defense overall. Pitching, still, you got to figure that out. I think they're okay pitching. Yeah, I mean, I guess you take that team going in.
I'm not saying that this solves everything, but because Dominguez was so sloppy when he came back this year with the fly balls, one of which he overran, it was just weird. I don't know what the heck happened to him. But if he would have instead resembled the kid from the year before, during that 8-game sample, with 4 home runs, speed, and defensive prowess, don't you think you'd feel very differently about the way an outfield of Dominguez in center, Judge in left, and Soto in right? I think part of the warning flares, which I get, by the way, because I don't really know who the real Dominguez is. I think it's much better. I think it's more the first year than last year, but I've got to see it.
Maybe if it's in between, you probably live with that.
Exactly. Like, I think there's an overreaction. The guy was missing pop-ups. Oh, my God, the guy's horrendous. Oh, my God, the guy stinks.
They'd be a better team going in with Walker and Dominguez.
That's what I'm saying.
Dominguez in center, Walker at first.
And Jazz at second to start.
Shirley is in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Shirley? Hi, Shirley. Shirley's not there. Larry's in East Islip. What's up, Larry?
Fellas, how you been? Long time. What's going on?
What's up?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. All right. Brandon, I'm coming to you this time. I was just in Scottsdale over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It is pathetic, brother. It is. I am so sick to my stomach over it, and it's not even about this year. We already know what's going on this year. Moving forward, what are we going to do with the coach? You guys have hit all the points. You're 100% right. What are we going to do with the coaching? Who is Aaron Rodgers going to listen to? By the way, I've ran the same system for 20 years. You want a new coach to come in and say, all right, we're going to run this system, and he goes, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For 1 year, I'm going to learn a whole new system and do all that. So that's what I'm scared about.
That's why I want him gone. It's one of the many reasons.
I know.
Number one's not good enough.
That is,
yeah.
Ed, 100%. You can't move forward without him being here.
I agree.
Setting it back even further.
I agree.
Yeah, and then just brace yourself, Larry, for another miserable losing season where you're going to win 3-plus games. Like, I'd rather watch Aaron Rodgers quarterback the New York Jets next year than whoever the other option is. Because if it's a young kid that we want to see, yeah, that's a different story. But I also don't think throwing him to the Wolves like they did everybody else and it's failed is going to be the recipe for success moving forward. That's my only reason for Rodgers. You guys are making a lot of sense. I get it with the offensive system. Hey, Rodgers is a big boy. He needs to figure it out. I want the head coach to be in total charge of the organization. If that means a new offense, so be it. Rodgers has to figure it out. Try to use his skill set the best that you can with the system that you want to apply. If he doesn't like it, see you later.
What is his skill set at this point?
I think he
can't move that much.
I think he's brilliant, and I think he's got still got a strong arm.
I think the arm talent, that's always the last thing to go. I'm not worried about the arm talent.
So the arm talent is there, and the ability to read a defense and...
Well, then how come he's not reading it that well?
No, I think he can. I don't think anybody else
what is he waiting for? He's 50?
I don't think it's his fault.
What? It's not his fault?
No, this is not his fault.
I said to Sal at probably 10:09, this is how we started the show. I said, Sal, there were three games in a row. The Vikings, I think the Broncos, and the whatever the third game was. The Jets had the ball with a minute change to go. Down a couple, you score, you win. Imagine getting handed that contract. Hey, Jet fans, it'll be a fun year this year. Come on down, sign up. Here's the contract. You'll have a chance to win multiple games in a row because Rodgers has the ball and you're moving. 0-1, 0-2, 0-3. So we could sit here and say, and I'm not saying you're totally wrong about seeing things in the arm talent.
Well, how do you do in the Patriots game?
Hold on. But those things like the platitudes and the characteristics that we still attach to Rodgers, it sounds good, except when he had a chance to win multiple games in a row, he threw picks.
Right, but BT, here's the thing. It's not like, I don't know what you want him to do. You want him to be
Superman?
Don't
throw picks.
Yeah, well, how about the offensive line block for him?
I know there's a connection
there.
He's about to get his ass kicked
every time he drops back. He's still able to get rid of the football, maybe not with the accuracy that he should because he doesn't have the time or whatever. To me, when I watch this team, and again, he's not taking him to another level, sure, but Aaron Rodgers is not the problem. Of all the things we could list with the New York Jets, almost all of them, to a man, don't have a fraction, a small hair of the resume that Aaron Rodgers does. So if I'm just looking at it unbiasedly saying, okay, well, if I'm coming in to clean house, they bring me in, and they say, okay, you're running the Jets. And I look at it and say, okay, well, these guys have done nothing. These guys, whoa, we got a 4-time MVP here and a Super Bowl winner. I might be able to make something of him. These guys done nothing. Like, of all the things that have gone wrong with the Jets, Rodgers, to me, is the least of the issues because I know he's been good before. He can win. They, meaning that loser, pathetic Jets organization, haven't.
They haven't won without him last year.
They had
a better record.
They haven't won anything. They haven't won anything.
I understand that, but they literally won more last year without Aaron Rodgers than with him.
Right. Understood. Well, then you could say the same thing about Devontae Adams and Jeff Ulbrich.
You could. I mean,
it's not Rodgers' fault. The offense, Joe Douglas is to blame. The head coach is to blame. Like, you want to knock Aaron Rodgers? Sure. I look at it more as Rodgers has become a product of his surroundings. As opposed to
Then he's mentally weak if that's the case. Then he's not able to elevate.
No, it's not a mental thing. Mentally, he's there. You can yell at somebody all you want. You're coaching kids. You can yell at them all you want. They're not going to do what you say necessarily. It's on them
to figure
out. They're
9 and 10 years old.
Yeah, and the Jets act like they're 9 and 10 years old. I'm not going to delete my social media again. I can't tackle. I can't stay on Twitter either. Sauce Gardner, that whining baby. Soft Gardner.
Thank you.
Garrett Wilson, another one. A baby. Immature. Breece Hall. Oh, best running back this. Best running. Baby. They're all whining babies. The offensive line is atrocious and an embarrassment. They went from the worst head coach in the league to a guy who shouldn't be a head coach in the league. Look, I'm not trying to be an Aaron Rodgers apologist, But he did win a Super Bowl. He has won four MVPs. He was just fine until he got here and tried to fix this mess. If anything, I blame Aaron Rodgers for thinking that he could fix the Jets. And when he got here, he realized, oh, crap, this is worse than I thought.
You know when you have an old retired wrestler that we loved watching as a kid? Well, we didn't take Hulk Hogan. You see Hulk coming out with the red shirt, right? Oh, look at Hulk. Yeah. Isn't it almost a little sad and pathetic when he's still wearing the same shirt and still doing the same
body's
gimmick?
Body's not looking the same.
Body's, that is nobody's fault. I mean, because he's getting older, right? Well, yeah, it sounds good. Pump up the real American. Here comes Hulk. I'm a real American. Rip it off the shirt. Except everything's different when he does rip off the shirt. Rodgers tried to rip off the shirt. And he don't look the same.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, what Sal just said, there's a lot more wrong with the Jets than Rodgers. The difference is that he's no longer capable of working around those deficiencies, and I think we're covering up for some of them, and I thought that he would be. When was the last time? Now, Rodgers was never running around like Lamar Jackson, but when was the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers extend the play? A good 5-6 seconds left out of the pocket, flushing here against his body, against the grain, making something wacky happen. I don't think I've seen it as a Jet.
Yeah.
Because he can't do it.
Right.
And that's part of the reason, and that's why he was Aaron Rodgers. The off-platform stuff was always there, the threat, and the incredible precision throwing a ball through a keyhole. Well, the keyhole's got a little smaller, and the ability to go off platform's pretty much gone.
Maybe. But Aaron Rodgers at 45, maybe even 50, is better than anything the New York Jets have seen in 30, 40, 50 years at the quarterback.
But you know what? Now, at that point, we're having two different conversations. I don't disagree, but I don't care because that's 30 years of futility. And unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers, whether it's some of his fault, all of his fault, partly his whatever, he has now been swallowed up by those.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Those years of futility and unable to change it. And since he can't change it, I'm ready to change the quarterback.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus. Now it's time to power up with BT and Sal.
All right, here we go. A little power up time with BT and Sal. We're good. to go over our NFL power rankings, top five teams in the NFL. Last week, BT, we did it 5 through 1. Let's go 1 through 5 this time.
Why are we going to switch it up?
Because I feel like we might be different toward the end as opposed to the top of the order. Although, who knows? I mean, this is, I don't even remember what I did last week.
I forgot to. Also, I had a little slippage, actually.
I do know that I had the same team number one, so I'll start there. I'm going to go with the Lions still number one. Wasn't overly impressed with the way that they beat the Texans, but still a good team. Mm-hmm. Come back, getting that win. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFL. I mean, you look at their record, sure, but the way that they've been dominant as well. Do they have the highest point differential? I think they do.
They did. Do they still have it?
By a pretty good margin, too, plus 113. Mm-hmm. I think second best is the Bills at plus 97 with some quick research here. So anyway, Lions to me, number one.
Listen, I love Detroit. I love their story. I'm going to stick with Kansas City. They're still they're still unblemished here. But I got to tell you, you know, I say this, and I think there's their hold on this spot is going to prove to be very fragile. Now, their bottom third rushing yards. So it's starting to get cold now, a little different profile games. And their passing attack is good, but it's not vintage Kansas City. So if they're not flinging it around, I just don't think they have the weapons. And not about Mahomes as much as the weapons around them. You know, can they win the shootout? Can they win the grinded-out game if they have to, if the passing game's not there? I don't know, because they don't run the ball well so far. So I'm going to stick with Kansas City. It feels tenuous to me. I don't know. Not loving that spot.
Yeah, interesting that you would still have them number one. I think last week I had them at 2, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, I might have had them at 3. They have dropped.
You dropped them.
In my rankings. Okay. I have the Ravens still number 2, or at least number 2. Yeah, I mean, an impressive win back and forth against a tough Cincinnati team. Now, again, ultimately, they're going to have to do it in the postseason. That's it. We know what this Ravens team is. It's loaded. Maybe now more so than ever with the combination of running the football and being able to throw the football. But can they do it against the best of the best, or can, more specifically, Lamar Jackson do it against the best of the best in the postseason? I think they can this year. I'm going to go Ravens right now. I think that they're the second best team in the NFL.
That seems a little ambitious to me, but I got you. I mean, listen, the Ravens very well should have lost that game. There's a bad call. And I understand, getting to a divisional matchup, Joe Burrow's amazing, Ja'Marr Chase is amazing. It's no shame that you won 35-34, which they did. I'll get to the Ravens for me after. I'm going to stick with the Lions at 2. I don't need to really, you know, really church it up too much here. I'd like to see Goff bounce back with a big one.
They lose a little bit in your mind?
He threw a couple of picks.
That's what I'm saying.
A little bit. I still really, 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 really like them. I'll put it this way. My top two spots, Kansas City and Lions, I think they're both vulnerable, which speaks to the year in the NFL that we're having. Now, for me, number 3, I got the Bills. The Bills are good at everything. I don't think they're great at anything. And the stats back that up from an offensive perspective. They're, you know, 14th or 15th pass, 14th, 15th run. Pretty good balance, which is not bad. But I am surprised that their tight end production is not what it's supposed to be. Between Knox and Kincaid, I thought they would just be destroying people. So I love Josh Allen. I like the coaching stability. Milano has that window to get healthy. Their linebacker who got hurt. Remember, mm-hmm. He got hurt in camp right away. So if he gets back, tighten up that defense a little bit. I do like the Bills. Actually, they're a lot better than I thought they would be. I thought they lost a lot. They're number 3 for me.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. That's one way of the same with the Bills. And the reason why I had them ahead of Kansas City is because I think they're going to beat Kansas City this coming weekend in the game that I cannot wait for, 425, really looking forward to it. And if I think they're going to beat Kansas City, then why wouldn't I have them? Not that that means everything head-to-head, because I have some backwards rankings a little bit when it comes to that, but I'm down on Kansas City. So I'm with you, Buffalo, number 3, for a lot of the reasons you said. I think they're legitimate. This is their chance to maybe break through and get to a Super Bowl, potentially win one. I have the Chiefs number 4, and that's, I know it's disrespectful for the reigning champs, they're undefeated. But dude, like, more harm came of them barely beating the Broncos. And I know, division rival, whatever, and they still won the game, blocked field goal, all that stuff. To me, more damage was done. Like, that to me validated my concerns about the Chiefs going in. They should have lost that game. And the fact that they never put anybody away, it's infuriating. Yes, they're 9-0. They're going to get caught at some point, I think, this weekend. And I also just don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to do it in the postseason. Now, again, they have to, until they actually get beat, these are just, it's empty words, but I have them number 4 on my rankings.
Well, listen, part of the ranking here is obviously reacting to what we've seen, but also start a position what we anticipate
projecting,
seeing as well. So it's kind of a hybrid. So I got you. Number 4 for me, I'm going to go with Philly. The Eagles are 7-2. By the way, they haven't lost since the bye.
You have the Ravens on here yet or no?
We'll get to them. Okay. Maybe.
Just making sure I didn't miss that.
Yeah, okay. I didn't miss the same yet. Yep. The Eagles are running the heck out of it. Sorry, Giant fans. Saquon's crazy. Obviously, Hurts can run a lot. I'd like to see a little more balance where get those numbers. So instead of being second in rushing and 20th in pass, maybe kind of meet somewhere in between a little bit more. But they won five straight, and they're starting to click a little bit. The Eagles, to me, now, their coach worries me. Sirianni in a big spot. I think he's too loose, but Saquon has given them a lot this year. So I love him. I mean, the way they look now versus how they looked early, they look like they're starting to round into form. I like the way they look right now, Sal.
They did not make my top five, but much like you with the Bills, the Eagles are better than I gave them credit for, and I think tonight's going to be a telling game. Like, on my almost made it in the top five list,
yep,
I have both the Eagles and Washington. And the winner of tonight's game could potentially land in the fifth spot next week. So I'm looking forward to that. But I can't put the Eagles there yet, especially if I'm going to leave Washington out, which I am. That's not on my list either. I'm leaving Washington and Philadelphia off, but I understand why you would have them on there.
Yeah, and a couple teams that I thought about but didn't get to. The Steelers, I mean, you got to show them. Yep. Maybe they made yours. We'll find out in a sec. Yep. Steelers got to get some love there. I thought quickly about Green Bay, just on a cursory level. Like, if I was to put any other teams in my top, and it would be in the five spot, it would be either Pittsburgh, maybe the Packers, or maybe the Commanders. For me, like, once you get to that point, there's really nobody else I can even remotely justify being a top five team, but those three teams didn't make it for me.
I am going to stick with the Chargers at number five. I believe I had that last week projecting. They didn't do anything to hurt their standing. I know they beat on the Titans, but that's what they do, and I think they're getting better. And my only internal discussion with this was Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh beat them head-to-head, but it was earlier in the year. And the part of the projection for me, I think the Chargers project better long-term than the Steelers. Steelers would have been my first team out, just because it's hard to disrespect them. They just beat Washington on the road. They're 7-2. They've got a great head coach. They've got a quarterback who's won a Super Bowl before. I know he's not that same player, but the Steelers have all the pieces in place. They're leading a very tough division. Big matchup this Sunday with the Ravens. Maybe that could change. If they beat the Ravens, they will be in the top five next week. No question about it. Ravens will take a little step back. But for now, I still project the Chargers to be better than Pittsburgh long-term. So I have Jim Harbaugh leading the way at number five for me.
I've got the Ravens, the other Harbaugh, at number five. Probably a little bit too low for some people. 7-3. I touched on the fact they very easily and should have on some level lost the Bengals game. Not the biggest crime in the world if they would have lost to Joe Burrow and Chase, but they're just ripping it up through the air. What are they, first in passing yards? So I think they're number one in total yards a game. They're just very explosive. They're well coached. Back to Russell Wilson, so I've got Ravens 5. Ravens 5, Eagles 4, Bills 3, Lions 2, Kansas City 1.
So we have both in our top 5. I have the Lions, Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, and then I have number 5, Chargers.
And I've got the Eagles.
Correct.
So that's the one variable there.
Four teams are the same of the 5. The difference is you have the Eagles, I have the Chargers.
And slotted a little differently, as we said. You know, let's face it. I mean, we got to show Russell Wilson a little respect here. We were cracking jokes. He's corny. He's this. He's done. He's that. Would it surprise anybody if Russell Wilson goes to any road venue in January and wins a tough playoff game? Me neither.
I think they got the formula here. We're overlooking it, but they have the head coach, they have the defense, and the quarterback has been proven in big games before. He's looking maybe not as good as ever, but
he
threw to Pickens. That was
a
beautiful drop it in the bucket pass by Russell Wilson. And the Steelers, a great organization that built a good foundation, brings a quarterback in, two quarterbacks, as a matter of fact, cast off. And maybe eventually get a transition from Russell Wilson to Justin Fields and be set up beyond that.
Well, and the receiver they bring in, I mean, the Jets were the one who basically got Mike Williams ready for the season, you know, because when they got him for 1 year, $10 million, I understood it. Hey, it's a flyer. He's not ready. He's going to be on the pup. He's going to work on the side, get himself going. And I know we're all thinking, maybe, you know, even though we played before that, by week 3, 4, or 5, Mike Williams is going to be balling, catching touchdowns from Rodgers. That did nothing. Rodgers basically ran him out of town. The first game he goes to Pittsburgh, game-winning touchdown. So they now have a big body threat who has scraped away in the red zones, the tight red, who scraped away the rust, learned to trust his knee. And Mike Williams is a good player. I don't know what the hell happened here, but Mike Williams was always good.
Was Pittsburgh your first team out?
Yes.
Okay, so we agree with that. One more team name I want to bring up to you. I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams. We've discussed all of them except one. Yeah.
You didn't go Denver, did you?
No, NFC.
Oh, NFC. I think you gave up on the Vikings at this point because the Dolphins.
Correct.
Okay, so forget about them. Niners.
No, although that's not a bad one.
Who?
Cardinals.
Eh, not bad.
Again, now, if you're projecting, you probably have the Niners there.
Not bad.
But just quick glance, I mean, 6-4, they're playing really good football, running it. Now, they probably never cracked the top five.
Mm-hmm.
But even the fact that I would have them on a list of nine. And you're right. Like it probably the not again. Niners 5-4. They've got to get it going here.
And they get healthy.
Cardinals have won four straight. They're playing really well. Kyler Murray looks terrific.
He does.
They run the football down your throat. Like, hey, they may be in the NFC, and maybe the Cardinals could do some damage.
Hey, if we're watching them on say Wild Card Saturday, would it surprise anybody if they win? I think the answer is no. I actually think they're going to be a playoff team. I saw something during the Jets game.
Division? They win the division or just a playoff team?
I've got to thoroughly investigate that a little bit more. Okay. I'm not going to close the door on San Francisco. You know, C-Mac back, whatever. But the strength of schedule, I'll take it for what it's worth, but they put this up there in the Jets-Cardinals game. So far, the Cardinals have had the toughest strength of schedule, easiest rest of the way.
Yeah.
So and they've carved out some wins against some tough teams. Now it gets easy.
Sitting pretty at 6-4, top of the NFC West.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Marquise is on Long Island. What's up, Marquise?
What's up? I agree with you, BT. I think Aaron Rodgers is done as far as being a football player. Watching him play, like you watch other guys, you either have to be mobile in this league or kind of like Joe Burrow or Herbert, where you stand in the pocket, you get blown up, but you make the pass. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is doing either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
What I do think is still sharp is his mind, which why I think he'd be the perfect guy to take over as head coach next year and develop a new quarterback.
No. You know, was that, please, are you kidding around with that, Marquise?
I don't know. I think he might have been serious, but they do hire now players basically fresh off the field to be head coaches without experience.
Yeah.
But no, for two things. Number one, Rodgers doesn't have any interest in that.
No, he's not putting in those hours to be a head coach.
Rodgers is not going out like that. Hoff, you wanted to end here?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would almost put him as maybe he wants to be the GM, too.
Yeah, well, but he has been that. See, here's the problem. Rodgers has been the GM and head coach the last couple of years. Hasn't worked out. I want him to just be the quarterback and let somebody else be the general manager and head coach.
Boy, it's going to be fascinating, BT, to see how this thing plays out here. Another long off season because it basically starts before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
With the Jets. We're not looking forward to, and Evan can say whatever he wants. I talked to Evan a little bit off the air yesterday, and then he said it on the air. Jets aren't mathematically done.
I saw that.
Dude, come on.
I'm not even saying that.
Exactly.
I gave up. Kinda.
Come on. How delusional can you be? And then he's like, well, how about the Mets? You know, and they were 11 back. Yeah, okay. And he's like, because I'm like, I'm not even watching the Jet game on Sunday. I told you I'm going to be on.
I'll be watching.
Well, you have to watch. You doing the podcast after. You could fill me in. I'm going to be on the air from 12 to 3.
Why are you doing a show Sunday?
And because I want to entertain the people. I think New York deserves to be entertained from Sunday from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Well, I'll be on from 12 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Giants and Jets sure as hell aren't doing it. So why not me give it a try? We'll be doing some baseball, of course, but either way, the point is, the Jets game to me couldn't be less relevant. There's nothing to watch in that game, nothing. You want to tell me they're going to the kid from Florida State? Different story.
Uh-huh.
There's no point to watch, and even then, it's like, Jets-Colts? You couldn't have a worse matchup. So what? What if the Jets win this game? Big deal. Then what? Are we going to talk about them on Monday?
I'm looking at the standings for the first time.
Yeah.
In a couple days since that last game. They dropped the spot, so they're now 11th. I'll just play the game for 30 seconds. Evan is an analytically, it's emotionally driven too, but I'm sure he's looked at the standings and he's done all this like I was doing up until today.
Until they're mathematically done, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so they're 3-7. We know that. They're 11, blah, blah, blah. All right, so now some of the games, and I do think that they're going to beat the Colts. That's what sucks.
All right, so what? And then get you 4-7?
Well, it'll get you 4-7. Now, other games that matter.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is the Dolphins, who won last week, are playing the Raiders, so the Dolphins will win again. And now the Dolphins jumped in front of you last week because the Jets lost. So
The Dolphins are the key to the equation here because when we were doing the math saying that if the Jets beat the Cardinals, there's a path here. It was also factoring that those games against Miami are winnable. They're not beating the Dolphins are better, assuming health with Tua. Yeah. The Dolphins are far better.
Than Miami. The Jets?
Yeah, Miami's looking at the Jets saying, hey, you know what? We can get to the postseason because we still got two games with the crappy Jets left.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we look at it from our side. Their side of the coin's probably a little bit more optimistic.
Home against the Colts?
They're going to win this game.
Home against the Seahawks? Are you going to that game, by the way?
Yeah, I have plans to go.
I know you said you're going to take Colts. Good luck with that,
I don't know, man. I didn't tell him we're definitely going. So, like, I actually haven't physically gotten the tickets. It's something that I can do. I already threw the line in the water, whatever. Do I think that they'll beat Seattle? You probably will.
At Miami?
Jeez. All right, so let's give them the record. Now, that brings us to 5-7.
Yes, before Miami.
Loss.
Yeah, and then that's probably
Just keep going. 5-8.
At Jacksonville? You got to win that
they'll
game.
They'll probably lose that game, though.
At Jacksonville?
They stink.
Yeah. Well, the Jets, yes,
that's
I know that.
That's what I mean. The Jets stink.
Jacksonville may stink worse.
Do they?
All right, isn't Lawrence the banged up?
6-8. Yeah, go ahead.
Home against the Rams?
Rams are tricky. And I thought they were going to trade some guys. Remember that before the deadline?
Come on, though. You could. I mean, you know. If you're
I know they can beat
them. You're going to beat the Seahawks and the Colts.
I'm not playing the game loss. I'm going loss here. That's it.
I wanted one more.
Loss.
I wanted to get you one more win.
I know what you wanted. I will give it to you.
At Buffalo.
Loss.
And then home against Miami. Like, they're not beating Miami twice anyway.
I know.
The Jets
agree.
Come on.
I'm not saying I agree with what Evan said. It's over.
I can't imagine.
Party's over.
I can't imagine any sane Jet fan. And I get it, like, as sports fans, we're not sane individuals. We aren't. But any sane Jet fan sitting there saying, you know what? Honey, I'm going to give it a go again. Let's get the food ready. Let's go. I'm into Jets Colts.
Yeah.
Sunday at 1. Why do it to yourself? It's over.
Well, especially the way they looked in Arizona. They scored 6 points, dude. Now, if they would have won that game, I laid out the map. If this happens, which, by the way, did favorably for the Jets, basically everybody that we wanted to lose lost, and they couldn't deliver. So because they couldn't deliver and they absorbed loss number 7 before November 15th, win 3-4 games in a row, wake me up. Maybe I'll be in. Now, I'll be doing the pod. I'll be watching the games, but playoffs? Stop.
Playoffs? All right, thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Macaulay Culkin for stopping by as well. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hop as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.